Join with me in our prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy God, let your spirit now move in us to turn us away from the temporary and move us to your eternal love, made visible in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And our reading today will come from Psalm 121. In fact, it'll be the entire psalm. It's very short. You don't have to worry. So I'll give you an opportunity to look it up. It's going to be from the New Revised Standard, Psalm number 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank my sister in Christ, Sandy, for continuing us on this journey of praise this morning of God and worship. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for how you are at work in our lives and how you continue to sustain us and also how you speak into our lives. Sometimes we hear it in creation. Sometimes we hear it in one another. And sometimes it's in those moments of reflection. We sense it, feel your presence. In all of those ways and so many others, thank you for speaking, reminding us that we belong to you. It's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Who would have ever thought that a power outage would have reminded you of God? Now, maybe whenever you flip on that switch or all of a sudden things shut off, you say, oh God, that's a whole nother thing. But last night, our power went out for just a particular section of the foothills. Did anybody else, their power go out? Well, okay, yeah, I live right next to you, so that makes sense. Absolutely. Because if it was just me, I'd start taking it personally right about now. Like God's saying something. So since I was just kind of sitting there and we were out walking around and checking on neighbors and saying hi and trying to diagnose it, you know, and help out the power company with their work and everything like that, I decided to go ahead and take a walk. And it was evening. And as I was taking that walk, I was reminded of what a beautiful place we live in. Because last night I was walking, and where I was walking, it was very easy to see the stars. Do you know what I'm talking about? Last night was one of those nights. You could look up, and I was walking up, and I was just in awe. And I started thinking about that hymn, Oh Lord My God, when I in awesome wonder, and thinking about God's creation, thinking about God's touch in his creation and in his world, because it is God's world. It was a beautiful night to be able to remember that and to be thanking God, walking around in a beautiful part of his creation. There's something immense about it. There's something startling about it, in a way, to just be there alone by yourself in the middle of the night, walking, looking up at the stars. And yet there's also something quite comforting to know that God is at work in your life as well. Yes, God, it's God's handiwork all around us. What beautiful sunsets here. What beautiful sunrises here. It's God's handiwork that we are continually reminded of God's grace at work. And yet, while God does those beautiful things and does those masterpieces, guess what his greatest masterpiece is? You! Now, whenever you look at yourself first thing in the morning, I want you to get that picture in your head right now. Okay, think about yourself first thing in the morning, but you just get out of bed or rolled out or whatever, and you look at yourself first thing in the morning, do you say, my God? I'm sorry, there's more to that statement. I'm sorry. What a masterpiece! Do you say that? Well, you should. I mean, it might be difficult to believe it, but you are. You are God's greatest masterpiece and work of wonder. And yet, why is it that we forget that? Well, I think we forget that because we sometimes feel inconsequential, all right? Sometimes we even feel maybe, like we don't matter. And the good news shares with us that we do matter. And we're not inconsequential. And God knows us by name. In fact, God knows every hair on our head. Go ahead. Sometimes it doesn't take him a long time to figure us out. But God knows us intimately like that, recognizes us, we're his children, we belong to him. And yet, it's easy to think about God whenever we look at creation, sometimes more so than when we recognize that we forget to recognize that we're God's most beautiful creation. We also have some hills around here. And we can hike those. And sometimes we feel real vigorous at the top of the hill. And other times, whenever we reach the top of the hill, we once again say, thank God. But looking out from those hills, or looking up at the top of the hill before we start, or right in the middle of that climb, of that hill, we can kind of grasp what the psalmist was saying this morning in our scripture passage, what the psalmist has offered down through the ages, that we don't have to look up on a hill, we don't have to look up on high, we don't have to look far off in the distance to understand God's presence, is that God is at work. God is at work in our hearts every moment. Do I have to look to the hills? Do I have to look at that beautiful sunset? Do I have to look at that beautiful sunrise? Do I have to look at the stars to be reminded of God's glory? It helps. But every day I look in the mirror, I can also be reminded that we are God's sons and daughters. The psalmist was mentioning that because this was probably something that was used whenever pilgrims were heading to Jerusalem, probably. And so there was a sense and there was a kind of a capturing of this spirit that God was not simply in one place. God is everywhere. God is not simply in one person. God is at work in each person. And God is not simply at work in a church or in a religious structure, God is at work every breath that we take. In fact, each and every breath is a reminder of God's grace powerfully at work, churning in us, sustaining us, encouraging us as well. And the psalmist, I think, was communicating that in these words. You know, the Lord is your keeper. That very middle verse, verse 5, is right at the exact center of this psalm as well. And I liked that whenever you read it again and you look at the Lord is your keeper, it's right in the middle. And that's where God is in our lives, whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, whether we're sensing it or not, God is right at work. And God is in the middle of our lives. What a blessing it is to be able to acknowledge that, to be able to hand that over to God, to say, Lord, you are my very core. You are the very center of who I am. You define me. Not any person, not event, not any circumstance. You and you alone define me, your grace and love. And that, my friends, is powerful. And that's why I think the Lord is your keeper is right at the very center of this scripture as well. One of the things that we struggle with, not only as a society, but as individuals also, is that we think about people, for instance, climbing a hill, looking to the top. How can I get there? We celebrate people climbing Mount Everest. We celebrate people making it to the top, and we also celebrate people making it to the top, quote unquote, in life. But I think especially as we come to the table this morning, and we're about to receive the elements of grace and love and healing and wholeness, we should be mindful of these words offered by Father Richard Rohr. Authentic spirituality is always on some level or in some way about letting go. You know, it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about me. It's about we. Jesus said, "The truth will set you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. Once we see truly what is trapping us and keeping us from freedom, we should see the need to let it go. But in a consumer society, most of us have had no training in that direction. Rather, more is supposed to be better. Have you ever heard that before? Or that been communicated in some way? True liberation is letting go of our false self, letting go of our cultural biases, and letting go of our fear of loss and death. Freedom is letting go of wanting more and better things, and it is letting go of our need to control and manipulate God and others. Amen? It is even letting go of our need to know and our need to be right, which we only discover with maturity. We become free as we let go of our three primary centers: our need for power and control, our need for safety and security, and our need for affection and esteem. Those are powerful words. But if we believe, or if we want to believe, or if we're trying to believe, if we're trying to live and hold on to what the psalmist has said today, then we understand. Our source of strength and grace is not in some far-off place, is it? It's right with us on the journey. Is our source of love anything other than God? No. Is our source of healing anything other than God? No. Is our source of security anything other than God? No. Is our source of salvation anything other than God? Is our source of love and nurture anything other than God? No. So the things maybe you've been chasing after, or the things that you've been grasping after, or maybe it's something that you just want to let go of. In our time of communion, as we come to this table this morning, I invite you to drop that, let go of it, and receive these reminders that God and God alone is the only one that defines you as his people, as his children. I'd invite those who are going to be serving communion to come forward at this time. Communion stewards. After the elements have been consecrated, you will be invited to come forward by the ushers to receive these elements of grace. This is an open table. That means we understand God has done this for us, And so if God has done it for us, all people, all of God's people, are welcome to receive. Much later, after the psalmist offered these words, Jesus offered remarkable words that we remember also this morning. This is my body, and it is broken for you. Astounding words, words that even to this very day we kind of struggle with sometimes, we wonder about. But he said this to those disciples, those followers, and the same words are offered to modern day disciples and followers, which we are. This is the body, broken for you. As you receive this, remember, you are my body now in the world. The body of Christ broken for the people of God, and we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. And after the supper, he poured out the cup and again offered remarkable words that we remember once again. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So for everyone who beats themselves up, for everyone who's harder on themselves than anyone else could ever possibly be, and for those who are gathered that simply need to remember that God's grace is powerful more than anything else that you'll carry, this blood is shed for you to remind you of God's touch, God defines you, God's forgiveness in your life. The blood of Christ shed for the people of God. And friends, we are the people of God. Thanks be to God. Again, after the communion stewards receive these elements of grace, you will be directed forward by the ushers, and you are welcome. We also have, and I will be having a container of gluten-free wafers for those who are in need of that.